Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where our goal is to help celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world by interviewing leaders and hearing their stories. I'm your host, Daryl Crouch, and today we have with us Steve and Patty Buss from Eugene, Oregon, with the One Hope Network. I hope you'll listen in to have a conversation with them and discover what God's doing there in their community. Can you talk to us a little bit about One Church, One Day, and what that is, and what you intend to accomplish in that, and what that looks like?
So One Church, One Day has really been an incredible strategy given to us from the Lord, not just to us, but through other leaders that have helped develop it. And you know, what it really provides is a 24-hour prayer covering over a community that's easily done within every congregation's kind of expression. So basically, we have these 10 influential sectors of the community that shape it. Okay, so government shapes our community, business shapes it, education, family, sports, media, religion. These things shape any given community. Mm-hmm. And as we would receive intelligent ways and strategic ways to pray into those areas and then disseminate those to the number of churches that would want to pray, we're praying in agreement in some very focused ways for our community. They're relevant ways for the peace and prosperity of this community that we've been called to, right? And yet it gives the Pentecostal church and the Church of God Seventh Day and the, you know, Baptist church all their own flavor of how they want to go about that prayer. But here's the focus. And so we disseminate that way.
Yeah. And each local church, the idea is each church adopts one day every month to pray for 24 hours. And so what most churches do is they have signups. So people sign up either for an hour or half an hour, and they fill a 24-hour period of time. So one of the many things about this initiative from a local church standpoint, it's very sustainable. One day a month, can you take an extra hour or half hour to be with Jesus and to pray prayer requests that are created by government leaders, by leaders in the fire department and the police department, leaders in education, and come into agreement with 40 other churches? Would you be willing to do that once a month and then hear every other month how God is moving? Just look at the newspaper. That's been one of the many things that has happened because we're praying in relevant ways,
yeah,
things that are pertaining to the community. So we often see these answers to prayer happening in the newspaper because we're praying into things that the newspaper are going to cover. They're going to cover that stuff, and God answers and God moves. And so we've got answers to prayer in the newspaper. So it becomes very sustainable for a local church. And then the pastors have loved it. One of the many things that it's done, if you will, a side benefit that the pastors have brought to us is it's helping them and it's helping their people, us believers in a community, actually see our community. Yeah. Because we're not just praying for our city in general, or we're not just praying for the mayor, but we're praying for first responders in detailed ways. We're praying for our educational system very specifically. We pray for the arts very specifically. We're praying for businesses. And so we're seeing the community. We're seeing these things that are relevant and that are important. And then we're seeing God answer. So it's really helped disciples to see where God's placed them and also to see his activity, to see those answers to prayer and to see areas where we haven't seen answers to prayer yet, and we have to persist. We have to contend for the Lord to move in those areas. So it's been a real wonderful journey. I will say, though, even though it's very sustainable on a local church level, there's a labor of love in having the strategic teams connected and making sure those monthly gatherings are well run, and we're getting people, and people have to cycle off. They serve for a time and they have to do something else, and so making that very viable meeting every month for those folks is really important. putting together the prayer guides and the answers to prayer. So we have a team of people that work really hard on that. So there is labor involved on the local church level, though. It's really sustainable, and pastors have really loved it.
Yeah. That sounds so exciting that people can actually see the results of their prayer when they read the newspaper. What a great picture of God's grace.
We haven't shared one answer to prayer. So let me give one example of an answer. Okay.
Yeah.
So when we first got going from our government strategic team, we got a way to pray, and it was to pray for Operation 365, which was a local governmental initiative to house 365 homeless vets in a year. So there was going to be a lot of people who worked really hard on this. But we got the prayer request because we were getting relevant information from government leaders. You should pray into this. So we did. We prayed. I think we prayed for 7 months into it. And we kept getting statistics. We kept getting information. Okay, this many veterans have been housed. Okay, this many veterans were housed. But remember, the goal was 365. At the end of the year, 404 homeless veterans were housed.
Wow.
And it was a miracle. And so the government leaders on our strategic team, some of them were involved in that initiative, and they knew it was miraculous. The mayor knew it was miraculous. Two of these leaders were invited by Michelle Obama to the White House for a luncheon for people who have had very effective governmental efforts to house homeless veterans. And so the Lord's hand was all over that. And those leaders knew it. The body of Christ knew it. And so that's an example again. So people in the churches are seeing our community. I mean, would people have known that there were 404 homeless veterans housed? The government worked really hard, but as the people of God also prayed. So just an example of one of the wonderful things we've seen through One Church One Day.
Oh, that is so good. And thanks for sharing the example. It just reminds us again, as we want to do in this podcast and the resources we provide, of just what is possible, and that God is obviously more than able to transform a community in so many ways, in so many different sectors. And so I appreciate you sharing that. Patty, I know you don't lead the initiative, but you can share with us a little bit about the initiative called One Hope Women that's a part of the network. Tell us a little bit about that. It's a really important part of what you do.
Yeah, so One Hope Women really functions similarly to our monthly gathering that joins pastors and other leaders. Now, our monthly gatherings involve women as well. So it's not just, it's female pastors, it's women ministry leaders. But One Hope Women is just another way that we can join women in leadership. Maybe they're nonprofit, maybe they're in business, maybe they're a pastor or a pastor's wife. It's just another way that we can bring the connectivity of the body of Christ to another sector of those people that are influencing. So they function real similarly, relationally, meeting once a month to pray for one another and to pray for our community. They take a day apart where there's some fasting and prayer, or just prayer actually for a whole day in seeking the Lord together. They'll be doing some serving and some outreach this summer tied to our connection to the Palau Festival. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good.
It becomes just another great layer of connectivity.
Yeah.
Because again, you know, for us, I think the core of it is just really seeing the body of Christ joined together. And really join together in prayer and join together in service and in the gospel. And wherever that can happen, you know, bringing different leaders, people involved in ministry at that level. And it's just been great to build those relationships, add to the prayer. And it's just really sweet.
I would just say on and off, there were seasons of time where we had One Hope Youth. So there were youth pastors that were gathering together, and they would bring the youth together to do serving in the city from different churches, or to do outreach together, to do nights of prayer together. So depending on leadership availability, that's been a presence as well.
No, that's a good reminder to all of us that every city is unique, and the people that God assembles are unique to the needs of that city. And to be just to be aware of that, one size never does fit everybody. I want to just turn the conversation and the time that we have to a more personal nature, and just your journey and some of the things that on a personal level God has shown to you and taught you as you've led the way in this particular gospel movement?
Well, question has a lot of good answers in a lot of different areas. One of the things that's been important for me and that we've been able to see, one, is that the whole body is very valuable. Mm-hmm. There have been times when there have been, you know, maybe what we would see as a smaller congregation, but the Lord would utilize the gifts and the personalities and the grace that's mm-hmm. in that small local church. It might be an older local church, but God will grace them to do something or just to have this one part that's so sweet and makes several other things happen. And it's a delight to see. You know, there's, you know, larger churches with big staffs, and then there's a lot of smaller churches that have part-time mm-hmm. pastors and these people who are honestly diligently pursuing the Lord, and they have a unique element to bring. And you know, there was the story of gifts coming through a small local church. Do you want to share that one?
That story, that was specific in that because we know each other now, you know, and we're friends, like we really all love each other yeah. all across these churches. It's like we're the church, you know. Yeah. So one night I had this sweet older gal, but she's spunky, from the Church of God Seventh Day. Call me. Oh, Patty, I know it's so late. I don't usually call. But I just feel like the Lord just keeps laying you on my heart. And I just got this hookup with Toys R Us, and I have like all these toys donated, and I don't know what to do with them. Do you know what we should do with these? And I said, you know, Roxy, I don't, but I bet God's up to something. So just hang on to those. Let's just see. I got off the phone with her, and I called our other coworker who's leading an initiative that works within foster care and foster family recruitment and things. And I said, hey, we're having this Christmas party for foster kids and their bio parents coming up. Are we doing okay with gifts for that? She said, yeah, I think that's all covered. No worries. And I said, well, I got this call from Roxy, and she said, yeah, we're good. We don't need them. I think we're good. She could probably just donate them. And I said, well, let's hold on, because there's a reason she called me. Let's just hold on. I got off the phone call from that, and probably an hour later, that friend got a call from the suppliers of the Christmas gifts for the PHS party, and they had fallen through. They weren't going to be available. Yeah. So before we knew the lack, God supplied, right?
That's so good. Yeah, that's so good. So,
anyway, that's just how important it is. I think, you know, personally along the journey, I guess I would just say, and I don't always succeed at this, but it is truth, that if you're going to do, you know, really walk this stuff out, you have to lay down the right to be offended. Hmm. We just never have a right to be offended. And we just have to let offenses go. And we have to always believe the best. There are people that sometimes don't join into stuff, and it's just okay because they're still the body and we're still connected. Whether we're tangibly doing that or not, we're the body in this community. So we're going to bless them. We're going to love them. We're going to think well of them. And again, I'm saying that's not 100% guarantee. I don't succeed in that all the time, but we press each other there to run there.
Yeah,
that's been a challenge and a good freeing place to be too, right? This is God's stuff. We don't have to make it happen. Mm-hmm. We'll just stay unoffended and believing. He wants us to be one.
Yeah,
he wants it, right?
I love that. That's so helpful, and I appreciate your transparency about all that. You know, God does come through in some incredible, miraculous ways, but there's also some miraculous work He does in our hearts in the process, and that's just as big of a deal as anything that we could celebrate on a website.
Absolutely.
So I really appreciate that. And I appreciate the journey that y'all have been on together. How is it that y'all are working together as a married couple in this ministry? And how's that go?
It goes good.
It goes well.
Yeah, we have a unique relationship. I mean, from the beginning, we've often ministered together. Yeah. So we were both involved in that college ministry, like I said, at Colorado State University. And then she ended up getting hired as an associate pastor. Then we went off and served the Lord together in missions. And so we're training people and leading outreaches together. And we come in and we start ministering at a local church. And Patty's always involved. If I'm on staff and she's on staff, I'm involved. And so we've teamed up. So we have that DNA in our marriage and in our life together. We've functioned as a team. But as far as Patty being able to do this full time, I mean, at first, at the beginning years, after I stopped being on staff at a church for the first few years, I was the only paid employee. Patty would serve and lots of people would serve. But it's only in the last handful of years where there's been a way made. I mean, things have just grown and grown and grown, and her gifts just really complement how the Lord's moving on our team. And so we get to serve together.
It works just because of it's just calling. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like, oh, I don't think we could necessarily give a seminar to people like, here's how you should work in a marriage together in ministry, because it's more like, well, we just sort of were destined to do it. So I don't know if I have any tools or tips. Other than it's just kind of how we were called and put together.
Well, thank you for following that calling. Thank you for being faithful in that. It's exciting to see how God's using you there in Eugene. And onehopenetwork.org, folks can go there and see what you're doing and be inspired, learn from what you're doing. And we really hope that we'll mobilize a whole lot of people who are following in your footsteps in their particular city. So I really appreciate you joining the podcast today.
It's been great to be with you.
Yeah, thanks, Daryl. So good to talk with you, too.
Well, God bless you.
You, too.
The work there in Eugene, Oregon, through the One Hope Network is just amazing. And I know you've appreciated hearing Steve and Patty and their story and what God has done there in their community over these years. To find more information about their work, visit onehopenetwork.org. And thank you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movements podcast, where we really do want to help celebrate and accelerate City Gospel work around the world. If you want more information or resources that will help you, please visit citygospelmovements.org.